Yep. Okay, you're good? You heard that?
Can you hear me?
Yes. I hope this is recording. Okay. Hi, friends. You have Caitlin and Courtney with Get Checkered. Get Checkered is part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown and community supported. So we literally, Courtney just walked into her house back from Muskoka. So how was it?
Oh, it was so good. I go every summer to my friend's cottage, and it's just the greatest time, just relaxing by the water, having a couple day drinks. So
must be nice.
Yeah, it's
weather.
Weather's beautiful. It's enhanced my Europe tan.
Nice.
So I'm pretty tan right now, and I'm so pleased.
That's the way to be for summer. I love it.
I know. And it's, so we got back from Europe and we were like, summer has just begun. Like, cause we got back early June. So
nice.
I'm just
keep welcoming it in. There's still more to go.
Exactly. There's still a month and a half.
Really? So how long were you up there for?
Just a couple days. So we went out for Canada Day weekend, came home a couple shifts, and then went back.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So it's always nice to go up during the week to avoid the Friday cottage country traffic. So
yes, I would think that, because I hear everyone from Toronto goes up to Muskoka for the weekend.
Oh yeah. Nice. Even Thursday night, sometimes the 400 is backed up. So we leave Wednesday morning.
Nice.
8 a.m. Yeah. It's perfect. So how was Stampede?
Yeah, Stampede was fun. I went for the weekend, so it's fine. Left Friday morning, came back Sunday night, 11:30 p.m. Stampede's always a good time. And weather, like you, was impeccable. I brought my friend Toby from school, and it was her first time ever being a Stampede. By the way, you guys, she loves Calgary, so sold Calgary on another person. But yeah, it was the tents are wild this year. One doubled in size. It's the biggest tent I've ever seen. It's two tents now. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun, Courtney, if you've never been.
I have to plan to come next year.
Oh my gosh, I think so. It's still ongoing, so if you have time, just go next weekend.
Just hop on a quick flight.
Exactly.
Cover my shift, gotta go.
Truly.
Yeah.
I met up with Shanika, went out for one night. But she's in Montreal right now, so hence why she is not on the pod. She's at Startup Fest. It looks like she's having a great time out there. So I think between the three of us, we're just hitting up every single city.
Yeah, we're just living.
Really the way to be. And we do acknowledge, friends of the pod, that we are 2 days behind the race. Whoops. But it is difficult trying to coordinate everything. As you just heard, we were everywhere. So
yeah, we're just too jet setters in the moment right now.
Truly, truly. So it's just one of those weeks. It is what it is. So we know you guys know the outcome of this race, and we know the outcome of this race. Well, so we're gonna go over our thoughts, the winners and losers of the race. And then there was actually one of the hot topics that came out of this race was about the fans at the race, actually. Shanika made a big note about that, so we'll talk about that. And then we have some juicy, juicy tea for the very end of the pod we just saw. So
piping hot.
So we will get there. I'm going to do a quick little ad break before we get into track facts. I don't think we did track facts last year, so if we did, sorry. If we didn't, you guys, you're welcome. You're going to learn some more about the Red Bull Ring. So ad break with the Well Endowed podcast by the Edmonton Community Foundation, hosted and produced by Andrew Paul and Lisa Pruden. This explores the impact of passionate people who are working to make Edmonton a strong, vibrant city to live in. The Edmonton Community Foundation helps people create endowment funds. The podcast tells the stories of how these endowments intersect with the community. So call to action is you should subscribe at thewellendowedpodcast.com.
Don't do it.
Fun.
Okay, I can put off a couple of first track facts here. So Spielberg and Styria, Austria, there's not a whole lot I think about it. It's the Styria itself is the second largest state of Austria after Lower Austria. State capital is Graz.
Yeah, I think so.
In Graz, the People's Party of Austria, a right-leaning party, was in power since 1945. The 2021 municipal election, Communist Party, the Greens, and the Social Democratic Party announced a coalition, and now Graz has a communist mayor.
It's just, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Austria being in that area after everything that happened and since 1945. So we thought we'd throw that in. You know, we can be political sometimes.
Yeah, we're not just fangirls. We got something up here. And then fun facts are it's home to more than 150 clean tech companies. A dozen are world tech leaders in their field. So good for them.
Right. It could be a good place to go. You want to get in that field?
Yeah. I feel like you could make some bank in tech. So maybe I'll hit up Austria.
Nice. Yes. Not bad. Maybe
I'll be on my next travel. Ew, Helmut Marko from
Yeah, my reaction too.
While we're on the topic of him, did you see the TikTok video of Jack Wolf, like Toto and Susie's son?
Yeah, going up to Toto.
Well, there's another
different one. Oh no.
On Toto's shoulders, and they're like high-fiving people on the grid, and Helmut Marko goes like high-five him, and he goes
nothing. Oh my god, I want to see that one. That was little Jack that did that.
I think so. I'm gonna find it and I'll send it to you.
That's so funny.
So funny.
Like Jack must be all over TikTok now, because I was thinking of a different one. Like Jack just runs up to, like, Toto has a serious face working on the computer. Then you see, like, Jack run up to him, like, bug his dad. And Toto's face just lights up as he grabs his dad. I was like, oh my god, my black heart melts to see this.
I know. Or when all the drivers are, like, giving him a fist bump.
So
I know. Jack and Susie content is what we need in 2020.
I think so.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's from Austria, Syria, and I don't know how to pronounce Conchita worse.
Yeah, girl.
Eurovision.
Really? So some great and interesting and maybe not so great people from Syria.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty good facts there. So racing at the Red Bull Ring, it's a 4.3 kilometer circuit, 71 laps, 3 DRS zones, and full throttle 79% of the time. So lick the stamp and send it.
Truly. It's only a few turns, right? Like 10 turns.
Yeah. It's a pretty like basic track, I think, but I think a lot of drivers like it because they can go full throttle
more than the time. Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, fair.
Right? They're like, all right, let's go. Austrian GP held off and on, like 1964, 1970 to 87. And then it took a break and came back 1997 to 2003, and then came back after 2014. So I wonder why. Do you know why?
Yeah, and actually, it's safety reasons. And FIA kind of called it off at some of the tracks.
Oh.
Right? All this stuff's from Wikipedia, so it is what it is. The 1964 stuff was held at a different place besides Spielberg. It was called Zeltweg Airfield Circuit.
Okay.
Fairly narrow, very bumpy. Spectators complained poor viewing. So FIA removed the race until a suitable track was built, which was the, excuse me, folks, a Stürmring.
Nice.
Yes. So that was a very fast and popular track with the drivers, but that held the 1970 to 87 track races. But that too was deemed too dangerous by your FIA standards because of a number of high speed corners, lack of protection from trees and embankments, and lots of accidents that starts races. So it gets canceled for a little bit longer. Comes back for the 1997 to 2003 stint with the A1 ring, which is where we're at right now. But due to the sponsor, it was called A1 ring. This Österreich ring was refurbished and brought up to date, got rid of lots of those long sweeping corners. And then, I don't know. Sorry, guys, I don't have why that one got canceled, but it did in 2003. It took over a decade. Red Bull now owns this track, and they got into a deal with Bernie Ecclestone, my bad. Now they're racing there, and they've even had up to two races there because they have the Syrian GP in 2020 and 2021. Mm. Right? So, yeah, that was due to COVID, as we all know, but yeah, kind of cool. Max Verstappen is already tied for number of race wins at the Austrian GP at 3, and that's with Alain Prost and Joe Siffert, who apparently two of his race wins were not in the world championship counts, so take that with what you will. Yeah, just going to end up with tires quickly. They did announce Pirelli that they were going to use the softest three compounds, C5, C4, C3, but we will talk about it. And you guys probably saw there was a lot of degradation on these tires throughout the race. So maybe they go harder next year. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's your quick and dirty track facts.
Yep. We'll go into another ad break and then we'll get into kind of race day stuff. So this episode of Get Checkered is brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Even if you're a busy business owner with more meetings than hours in a day, you are calm and collected when your group benefit plan is taken care of by Alberta Blue Cross. Your employees can manage their own health, dental, life, and disability coverage online anytime on any device, making it easier for them and you. Learn more and explore your options. Head to ab.bluecross.ca.
Thanks. We're good. Okay. Yeah. So I know, like, we have our notes categorized by like race day, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have anything about quali in the sprint race, but I think we can talk about those quickly. I mean, something happened in quali, right? We had like Q3. I was, because TBH, I did not have time to watch quali because I was a stampede. So, I did see though that both Mercedes crashed out of Q3. So
I also did not watch. Just I was on the dock, but that's the first thing. Like, I get Twitter notifications, and my phone was like, me, 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 me. And it was like both Mercedes. It was like Lewis Hamilton off the track, and I was like, what is this? Yeah, so that's crazy. That was like a big shock. And I mean, their car isn't the greatest this year, but I would have never expected that.
Right. Yeah. And like, there was a whole bunch of cheers from, I guess one thing we didn't say for the track fast, like, it's not Max Verstappen's home race, but it's a Red Bull ring. And there's a lot of Max fans at this race. Like, we see so much orange. And mm-hmm. So like, seeing Lewis go off and then seeing George go off, like, there was lots of cheers, actually. Right. But yeah, that was on the Friday, because you guys remember how the sprint format works. We have sprint races on Saturday before the race on Sunday. So the sprint was 23 races to cover that 100 kilometers. Mm-hmm. And did I watch that one either? Nope. But I watched highlights.
Was this this was the first sprint of the season, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But we're already almost halfway through the season, right? Yeah, like, we're coming up on summer break soon.
Yeah, because that was the 11th race.
Yeah, two more before summer break, I think.
Yep, because summer break is in August.
Yeah,
end of August. Holy, where has A?
I know.
B, this summer. C, this season.
Truly. Yeah. We're halfway through July.
I hate that. But no, also, we've been living, so I can't.
Did you see Charles Leclerc's Instagram post today? He's, like, back home, and it's, like, he's swimming in Monaco.
Yeah. with his like yacht in the background.
I know, I died. Shaka sends it and she's like, Jesus fucking Christ. I'm like, yes, I know. So the good thing about the summer break is like we get more of those photos.
Get that content.
Exactly. What did Charles do last summer? He was like ice climbing and then he was on, no, he was in Mexico and then he went like ice climbing. Like
Tulum or Cancun and then he went like ice hiking in like the last couple of
days. Yeah.
People were like, I think it's against your contract to like do your best to not get injured.
Not die, yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for summer break actually.
Yeah. We'll be keeping up with everyone.
Keeping up with the drivers, yeah.
Truly. But yeah, so back to sprint quickly. Like we have Max winning, and then Charles, and then we have Carlos. I think Sergio was four. Like it was pretty classic, like Red Bull and Ferrari up front, and then right behind them was the Mercedes, actually. And then everyone else. Did anyone surprise you? I can't remember.
Not really. Like even McLaren was kind of typical mid back.
Are you wearing your hat nowadays?
No, it's, I can't. It's like a way in, I need to get like a glass box. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh,
with his little, my Lando hat with a Carlos signature.
I think what we need to get you is like, and a hat insert that like wicks away sweat so you'll never actually get it dirty. You just can never wear it in the rain. Like you have to be very careful.
But maybe I'll get a like water repellent spray.
Hey, yeah, okay.
And then it will just beat off.
Here is how we fix you being able to wear your son Carlos Sainz hat.
I know. Oh, I like refer to that picture sometimes and I'm like, like he's looking right in the camera. Yeah,
that really happened. Just
I know. I sent it in the group chat, like our Get Checkered group chat, and Shanika was like, he looks like a cardboard cutout. I promise it's real. Could you imagine I just sent a picture with like
funny.
A
cutout? So funny. And you know what? He looked the same. Just perfect.
So perfect. He's such a handsome devil. I hate that like Christian Horner is like, oh, you only watch because they're cute. And I'm like, oh, Carlos is so handsome. I can't even.
We love Carlos for his skills and his look.
Yeah. Overall.
The races. You can't see their beautiful faces when they're racing. So we watch it for the race. And then we just love them afterwards.
And then we're like,
exactly, fangirling.
Yeah, champagneing each other on
the phone. The best part.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was it this many, like how many points did they get? I almost saw somewhere that Max got 8 points from the sprint. That's not how it was last year, was it?
I don't think so. How many points?
Right? I'm looking this up too.
Sprint race.
Yeah, okay. So it's different this year, you guys. Because last year, 3 points awarded to the winner, 2 to the runner up, and 1 to third place. But now top 8 drivers get points, with first place getting 8 points, second getting 7, third is 6, et cetera, et cetera.
Huh.
That's a lot more points you can get.
Oh, yeah. Lewis needed this last year.
Like, truly. Okay. Interesting, though. This can really shake things up.
I know. I think Charles Leclerc needs to get some more sprint poles because I need him to beat Max in the championship.
Okay, I'm in for that. Yeah. We'll manifest that into reality. I saw someone posted like where him and Max are in the championship right now. Charles has a little bit of a distance to close up.
Yeah, well, Ferrari also needs to like figure it out a bit in terms of the car, I think.
Get their shit together.
But we're only almost halfway. There's still some time to improve.
Exactly. And speaking of halfway, I remember Mercedes being like, it's a long season. We'll see what happens after summer break. So maybe they get in the mix.
Yeah. And now Lewis has had 3 podiums.
Yeah. So, like he's becoming Mr. Consistency.
I like it. I will say a highlight of my life is seeing Lewis Hamilton's first podium
of this season. Yeah, sure. Because he was so excited about that one too.
I know, because this is where, like, was that where he like won his first race?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely meant something to him. Yeah. And you gotta see that. You gotta see it. So meant something to you too.
Yeah, a little Lewis Carlos podium.
What else happened in sprint? Pierre Gasly crashes out again in the first like corner of the first lap. Yeah. And someone said he hasn't finished 3 out of the last 4 sprints. Like they're not for that man. Don't put Pierre on your fantasy team for a sprint weekend.
Yeah. I think Pierre this whole season has kind of fallen off. Like last year, I would say, like, if I thought of the number 6, I thought of Pierre, because he would always come 6th in a race be 6th in qualifying. Like 6 was his number. And now I'm like,
where's Pierre? Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Not a good thing for him, but there are some winners from this weekend, though, and we will get into them.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll get into them right now. We have no other ads to go through, so it is what it is.
Let's go.
Okay, so, folks, Shanika, we are putting this on Shanika because she wrote down our winners and losers because we love Shanika and she does a lot of work for us, so thank you. We'll see if we agree with them. So, Charles and Ferrari, she put as a winner. Let's discuss this. Charles, yes, I fully agree with. Ferrari, middle. They had a win with Charles. Big L with Carlos.
Oh, yeah. Even with Charles, like in the last 10 laps or so, he was saying his throttle didn't feel right. And they're like, oh, no, it's fine. And he's like, no, it's not fine. And like these drivers have to know the cars so well and like basically have them as their second skin that it's like if they think something's not right. I mean, I'm sure they were just kind of at that point, like it's nothing critical, finish the race and we'll look into it after. But I also kind of feel like they were like, no, just keep going. No, nothing's wrong. And he was like, no, but I think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like they went on afterwards, being like, oh, it's because your throttle isn't going down to zero. He's like, yeah, why is it not going down to zero?
Yeah. And he's like, I just don't understand.
So, yeah, car problems. They got to fix them. Maybe a good thing. Summer break. Take the time.
They're not allowed to work. No one in Formula One is allowed to even, like, literally be at the offices, really.
You're right. Well, okay. They got not a lot of time before that.
Before the France race, take the weekend.
Truly. Because, yeah, so we had that problem with Charles. And he was, like, I remember one of his post-race interviews. He was, like, I was a little bit worried for those last few laps. I didn't know if he was going to make it. So that's not good. Yeah. But he was very happy to get a win again. I think that felt good for him. The Carlos incident. Literally terrifying.
My heart sank.
Yeah. Because it's just like, it was a little fire and you're like, oh, he has time to get out. But then he couldn't get out and the car's rolling backwards. And I'm like, nope, I cannot watch this man die. I cannot.
I can't do it. I can't. Yeah, no, that was so scary. And it, like, he was literally about to overtake Max. And then his car burst.
He had a great pace.
And then, oh my God. I really thought he was going to, like, pull through with a win. Another win.
Yeah.
Would have been nice. But yeah, like I have another group, like F1 group chat, and everyone in there was like, is he going to get out of that car? Like, can he get out there? And it's kind of scary. Like, I would have expected the marshals to maybe run out a bit faster. And I saw that a previous F1 driver, Marcus Ericsson, does that sound right? Yep, that's the name. He tweeted, like, this is a disgrace. These marshals should have been there like that. Like, he should not like his, like someone should have been there as soon as he kind of went off. Even just to like make sure the car is not going to roll away while you're trying to get out of a burning car.
Yeah, I heard the commentators being like, oh, the marshals got here just in the nick of time. And it's like, it didn't need to be in the nick of time. I think there was, we were watching that car on fire for a little bit.
Yeah, and especially like from being now at a race and seeing how many people are working behind the fences.
Yeah.
Like there was probably like 25 people just lined up in my little corner where I was sitting in Montreal. And I mean, it might be different for every track, but the amount of people that are around, like I was surprised it took as long as it did.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. I wonder if like they might, I hope they address it. If it was something for like the safety of the marshals or something, okay, but that should probably be elaborated because there's people on podcasts like us saying it took some time and that was scary. And Carlos and Ferrari need an answer for that too.
Yeah.
So, okay. Win for Charles. Half, but three quarter
half point win for Ferrari. Charles.
Half point for Ferrari overall.
Yeah.
Big help for Carlos.
Next time.
I know. He goes from literally the highest high.
I know.
To fire. So that's not
him good. Just like sitting on the corner like afterwards and people came up to him like, are you okay?
Okay, we have, I don't know how to do this, we have a 10-minute.
I know, it just popped up. Okay, let's rip.
We'll finish up the race in 10 minutes. Okay,
yeah.
And then we'll see, there might be a little break in the episode, but we'll come back, I promise. Okay, so who else? So Haas had double points. Mick had so much pace, he almost wanted to pass like Kevin. It was amazing. I was so impressed.
I know, he was doing so well, and I think he's finally starting to kind of get his grips with F1, and clearly the Haas car is
there with him, so promising. Yeah. I hope we see more of this, because yeah, great in qualifying, he had another top 10 finish. Like I think he's ready for it if the car is ready, so
yeah, so let's see what you got.
I know, exactly. Shanika has Alpine here. To be honest, I didn't watch Alpine that much.
Me neither. I got the vibe that Alonso just like did not even want to race. Like he was just kind of like, meh, yeah, I'm here. So
yes, and like something happened with his car toward the end of the race. So I do recall like Ocon was up there for a little bit, but again, it's just like not memorable.
Sorry. Just like midfield, meh.
Right. There's that girl on TikTok that calls him SD Bestie, and I'm like, okay, SD Bestie.
I know. I literally call him that all the time now. I'm like, yeah, SD Bestie.
SD Bestie, love it. And then McLaren. So I want to get your thoughts on this. McLaren is a winner. Both drivers finished in the points, which feels weird at this point. And they drove well. No potential accidents. So thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I think they both drove really well. I think the team overall is kind of happy, recovering from a couple bad pit stops this season. So overall, I think, yeah, they both drove well. The car seems to maybe be improving in certain ways. I think they had kind of like a decent pace. I think it's crazy though that it's McLaren versus Haas at this point. So
who would have thought that last year?
I know. Yeah. So I'm a proud McLaren fan after that race. I think they did good. I think they handled everything well. Like K-May, Orlando's putting the pressure on K-Mag. So it's nice to see them fighting.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And not just kind of like straggling around with not much to do. It's nice to see them fighting, and I'm happy that Danny got points because I know he's had a really hard season. And kind of quickly on that point, he posted on Instagram this morning being like, yeah, I know there's so many rumors that I'm leaving F1 next year. I'm not. So
just to clarify,
shut up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which is good because people like around me are like, oh, are you seeing the news that Daniel Ricciardo was leaving like F1? And I was like, no, he's not. Like unless he puts in that performance clause, unless he initiates it, he's not going anywhere.
That's the clause in his contract to leave.
Yeah. And like Zach Brown and Andrea Seidel have both said like their relationship with Daniel is getting better and better each day. So he's not going anywhere. Thank God.
Okay. Danny Rick. Prove all the haters wrong, including half me sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. McLaren, a good start. Now there's still room to improve.
Yeah, we need the second after summer break. I need them to come out on top, maybe.
Nice. Okay. We'll see if we can get one of those. Maybe Monza again.
This time Lando get his first win. Nice.
Yes, very good. Yes.
Losers.
Yes. Okay. So
Red Bull.
I do agree. It's unfortunate because it's at the Red Bull Ring. Max got P2. Should have probably had P1, but the car did not have the same pace as the Ferrari.
Yeah.
All that. So, yeah, not great. They can work on that. And then Checo DNS, which was shit for my grid rival team.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could see, like, Carlos basically was, like, so easily passing Max, but then his engine exploded. So, you know.
Yeah.
So more losers are obviously the Ferrari engine, like we said in Stewart's. So yeah. Carlos's engine was obviously, as we discussed, hard to watch. That felt like it was forever, like we said. So in that case, like we also have listed here that like the Stewart's didn't stop the car from rolling back. So again, someone might have showed up a little bit earlier. That would have been great.
Yeah, I wish I could did put it in the loser. So okay, we'll forget that one.
And then Aston Martin, specifically Sebastian Vettel, he really did not have a good race. Early damage made it difficult for him to come back and even like be competitive. And then the overall track limits. Literally every single driver got a penalty for track limits, or like I would hear like Pierre Gasly has a black and white flag, Lewis Hamilton black and white flag, Lando Norris has a black and white flag. I'm like,
every single pop-up was another track. I'm like, okay, I've lost track, sorry, what is happening?
Maybe let's take it back to remember when this track was not being used because it was deemed unsafe by the FIA. Then maybe figure out your freaking track limits and the turns here.
Right, that's obsessive. That's too much. So something needs to be done because those shock limits were insane. Everyone's in the pits having 5-second penalties, and it's just like, oh, affecting the race. Come on.
Literally. And even Lewis, when they told him like stop doing this, he was like, this is ridiculous. And he was like, is anyone else getting these penalties? And I feel like at that point it was kind of like, okay, is it a me thing again? Flashback to Abu Dhabi. And then the engineer was like, no, literally everyone is getting this warning. Like it's just the track now. So definitely needs to figure that out. And then kind of the big story, which I'm also putting under, it's not under our losers category, but I'm going to put the fans, because like we briefly touched on the fans kind of having their say of booing Lewis and George, whatever. But on Twitter, we saw that a lot of fans were tweeting about the harassment they were facing, racism, homophobia, like sexism. So like at the end of the day, if you're a horrible person, don't go to a race. So Lewis Hamilton, a Mercedes fan, reported having her dress lifted by a male fan at the race. The girl was then shown around the garage, spent 20 laps with the team. Like that's an assault at the end of the day. So Mercedes kind of saw what happened and they let her come into the garage and kind of see as kind of like a makeup of being like, yeah, that's a shitty experience, but like, let's try and counteract it. And like overall, females were sharing like horrible stories from going to that race. Aston Martin also invited two girls that shared their experience about being harassed at the race. Lewis Hamilton tweeted like a pretty big tweet, but just basically summarizing, like, it's disgusting and disappointing to hear that fans are being racist, homophobic, and generally abusive at the circuit. Attending any Grand Prix should never be a source of anxiety or pain for fans. Something has to be done to ensure that all races are a safe space for everyone. If you see this happening, report it to us, circuit security and F1. We're not going to sit back and allow this to continue. F1 as a company tweeted, we've been made aware of reports of fans being subject to completely unacceptable comments at other events. We've raised this with the promoter and security. We'll be speaking to those who have reported these incidents, so they're taking it very seriously. Total Wolf tweeted that it needs to stop. If you're a real Formula One fan, whatever team, driver, you cannot be a racist or homophobic or misogynistic, because like then you don't fit in Formula One. We don't want you. We don't need you here. We have other fans that are like way supportive of everything. On that side, we need to be careful, because there's like a few drunk dummies that are there like haven't comprehended how the world goes today. And you can't condemn like 99% of fans that come here. There's always going to be these idiots around. I hope we provide a good show for the rest of the ones. But those others can screw off. So wise words.
Sounds like such a total thing to say. I can picture him saying it too. Just total Capricorn, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not just the Mercedes side too. Red Bull team came out with their own statement about this, and they were saying, we were shocked to hear that there have been some incidents of abusive behavior in the grandstands and the fan parks. This is completely unacceptable, and we hope that security and the authorities deal with this as swiftly, as there is no place for it in racing or in our society at all. Very true. We value inclusion and want a safe space for fans to enjoy our sport. So yeah, tie into the We Race is One. We value inclusion. Like, just so if you don't value inclusion, you're not doing the same values as Formula One.
Yeah.
Fashion, our homeboy Sab. He said, horrible, isn't it? I think it is good that this stuff comes out. That's the start, but it is horrible. Whoever these people are, they should be ashamed of themselves, and they should be banned from racing events for their lives. Agreed.
Yeah.
I think there should be zero tolerance. If people have a good time and drink too much, that's okay, but it doesn't justify or excuse wrong behavior. True. In society as a whole. Exactly, guys. We race as one, so the fans are a part of that. Like you said. And Max Verstappen as well, which is good. Max came out because so many fans were there as Max supporters.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not good. These things shouldn't happen. I read a few shocking things, so clearly not okay. I shouldn't even need to say this. I think there should be a general understanding that these things shouldn't happen. Normal human beings should think like that. And a normal human being shouldn't think like that and shouldn't behave like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Everyone's condemning these kind of actions, so don't be one of those people, because no one likes you for those.
Yeah. And, like, kind of before anyone says like, oh, it's Max fans for you, blah blah blah, like, remember that the majority of the fans are there to have a good time, and it was just like a small majority of them were bad. But it is like important for the majority to speak up and call this out, because like small actions can be like huge on someone, like can be huge on someone. So having like the support and awareness from such a big organization and influential people, once you get called out by, I think, things like that, you need to like reevaluate your life.
Truly. I think like there's so many people in the stands that probably witnessed this and were like shocked and unimpressed, but it really takes like one person to start calling this out. Don't think it's going to be the person next to you that calls it out, because they're thinking the same thing, and then no one actions anything. Mm-hmm. So like, just in the wise words of Brene Brown, have the courage to stand up. Go watch Brene. She will inspire you. But yeah, be that person that calls out that shitty behavior. Don't rely on someone else to do it for you. So we can all change it, but.
Yeah. And like, you could make someone's day by just being like, you'd like maybe stop that.
Yeah. Stick like, up for someone.
Yeah.
Right?
Never know what's going through.
Exactly. It's super shitty. We don't want to hear about this happening again. If Courtney and I or Shanka sees this happening at a race or even in the street, like, we'll call it out. So we hope you guys do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough for the girls that it happened to deserve, honestly, the fucking world. They don't deserve what happened to them. And we would like to be there to support them. The people that did the assaulting, we don't want to give any more airtime to them. So
yeah, you're done. Bye.
Exactly. So the tea.
Are you ready to spill the tea?
I know, truly. We okay, and we have so many thoughts and opinions on this from after Abu Dhabi 2021. Michael Massey is officially gone from the FIA now. Right? We thought it was super interesting that, like, he wasn't race directed, but he was still within the organization up until this point. But now he's officially gone, and they're saying, like, he doesn't have something else lined up, which I don't know how they would know that, but yeah, he said he's just kind of going to go back to Australia, I think. He had a few statements where he was like, all my friends, family, the people that have supported me have made the world difference these past few months. Understanding it would have been hard.
Yeah.
Had a lot of backlash, but like, yeah, probably good. You're leaving FIA. If he has a chance to come back, maybe that could be a good thing. People can have second chances sometimes, but.
And yeah, again, he doesn't have to necessarily go back to like that role, but just like kind of coming back into F1. But yeah, like I can't even imagine what the last year has been for him.
I know.
I mean, we all have our opinions on the outcome of the race, but overall, I think he probably was also dealing with a lot of harassment and abuse online, and that can take like a huge toll on people. So I have a feeling that the majority of this kind of stepping back has something to do with just getting out of harassment and torture for a bit.
I think so too. So I think it's probably, honestly, it's the best for him. Shitty if he loves F1, that like that's not the place for you to be, but for right now, that's not the place for him to be.
Yeah, and I feel like if he didn't get fired last year, he could probably like get whatever job he has now, he could probably like get something like that again if he did want to come back. Like I feel like once you're in motorsport and make it into F1 somewhere and you leave, like you can be like, can I come back?
And right, like you'll have connections. Yeah. And apparently, like maybe not everyone in the motorsport world hated him after that. So he still has some bridges unburned.
Yeah, like probably Red Bull, everyone on Red Bull
loves him. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's the tea. Michael Massey, we talked so much about him, and now it is gone.
Now he's gone.
And it's happened.
Yep. Now we're just going to continue to support the good people in F1 and push down the baddies.
Exactly. Baddies,
not like baddies. The trash.
The actual trash. We're baddies, but they're the trash.
Scorpio baddie, baby.
I love it. I love the sweater.
Thank you. I'll have to get them for you guys and send them. Girl.
Oh, I'm in. Just wear my Capricorn around and people will be like, oh, I understand why you have that riching bitch face all the time. And I'm like,
yeah, people, I wore this. So I work at a gym. And I wore this to do a workout one day. Like I just showed up and there were people, like members were like, oh, and I was like, okay, the next workout, watch you back. Cause I'm coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's I was so like, funny.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, folks, that is the episode for today. Yeah, we hope you liked it. Let us know what you think. You can DM us really anywhere. We'll respond and we'll have Shani back. She keeps us organized. We'll have her back for next week.
Yeah, our technical difficulties are pronunciation.
Me and Galen are not the technical girls.
Yeah, we like we went astray. I feel like we're like Charles and Carlos, C squared.
That's fun. Okay, I can vibe with that. I can vibe with that.
You're like a little unhinged.
I think so too. I love it. Okay, friends, until next week, well, in a few days technically, stay checkered and thanks for listening.
Goodbye.